Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hey, Browns fans, it's the Dogs Podcast. Off-season programs have started and Watson's in the house. So let this sink in. The last good QB in his prime in this offense was Matt Ryan. I got two things for you. He was MVP and he can't run. Let's get pumped. Go Brownies. Woo, woo, woo.
Welcome to the Dogs Podcast with your hosts, Blake Reniker, Zach Kopp, Justin Charles, and Josh All.
Hey, what's up? Welcome back to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. If you want to get your intro on the show, head to thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail in the drop-down menu. Just me and Josh again today. We're becoming staples of this show.
The dynamic duo.
Yeah. Zach had he said he was going to be here, and then something came up per usual. And then Justin is still needed at home right now. So it's just me and Josh again today, but I think you guys are starting to really like us, so that's good. today we're going to get into the most recent Deshaun Watson news, as well as breaking down the Browns schedule that was released. I think it was on Thursday. Before we get into it, remember to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. If you're watching on YouTube, please like and subscribe. Make sure to tap the notification bell so you never miss a new episode. If you prefer to just listen to the show, you can find us on Apple, Spotify, and Google. Lastly, if you're looking for more Dogs content, head to jointhedogs.com to become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. We've been getting some more people in there recently, and the more people, the better. The more opinions there are in all the threads. Today, for our after-hour show, I just made a post saying, hey, what do you guys want to talk about? And I got a bunch of comments on what they want to hear us talk about for the it's after hours.
I'm excited for this one.
So it's very much for you guys. If you join, we're getting closer to football season. We're going to have fantasy drafts again. We almost have enough people to do 4 10-man leagues. So just a few more people and we'll be able to do 4 10-man leagues as long as everybody wants to do it. I think that'd be a ton of fun. We can even try to figure out a way to where like there's a grand champion of like the four. You know what I mean? So it's a ton of fun in there. You get an extra episode every week that is basically anything in the world we talk about. I think today we're going to talk about our favorite sports moments and where we want to go on vacation. So it's just, for me, man. It's just kind of whatever. If you guys want to get to know us better, you have more direct access to us pretty much 24/7. If you want to mingle online with Browns fans from literally all over the world, head to jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member, have yourself some fun, hang out with us, become a Patreon member.
And I do just want to throw in one more time here that the Dogs After Hours show is now available on Apple Podcasts. If you just want to listen to it, you can subscribe on there. It's not a whole lot per month and you get that extra episode every week. And actually we're going to do a free trial of that for Memorial Day weekend. So starting Saturday, Memorial Day weekend. So that's next weekend.
Okay, cool. We'll remind you guys about that.
Yeah. I just wanted to say it now, and then we'll talk about it again next week. But check it out. If you've been interested in the After Hours show, that's a good time to just see what it's like.
It goes anywhere. We've talked about Star Wars. We've talked about the Browns and the Guardians. It goes pretty much anywhere. That we decide to take it. It's a lot of fun. It's a little bit more laid back. Sometimes it can be a little bit more adult. So make sure you guys
sometimes
check it out.
The true frustrations come out on that show.
So some things we want to get into today. It was reported Deshaun Watson is going to be meeting with league officials this week in Texas. I'm not sure when this week. I saw a tweet that said he was meeting with them right now. But I don't know how true that was. I didn't get to second source it, I guess is what you're supposed to say. So I don't know if he's meeting right now on it's Monday or if it's going to be sometime this week. Basically, I think a lot of people think it means suspension. But I don't think that's what it means at all. I think it just means that they've reached the we're going to talk to Deshaun Watson part of their investigation.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I don't know how it could mean suspension. Nothing's happened yet.
No,
nothing's come out. I mean, we're kind of still status quo.
I do think this maybe moves up the timeline. I originally thought he was definitely playing every game this year, and we weren't going to possibly see a suspension until next year. If we're at the end of the investigation and all they have to do is talk to Watson now and their intent is to suspend, perhaps it could come this year. So it'll be nice to get some clarity and not just be speculating and guessing. You know, I don't think he should be suspended until the civil cases are done. I don't think he should be, especially if he wins every single one of those. I definitely don't think there should be any suspension. But it'd just be nice to know, like, is he going to be there for the first six games? Is he not? Is he missing a year? I know if you guys are baseball fans, Trevor Bauer was just suspended for 2 years.
Yeah.
By the MLB for something similar to Watson. The only difference is his was only one accuser, but the same thing. No court brought any cases to court, and he's actually suing the accuser for defamation now. And then the MLB still suspended him for 2 years. There's a lot of talk about how that's a hit job. I think the MLB is the worst run professional sports organization in North America. And Rob Manfred is a terrible commissioner. And Trevor Bauer also thinks that, and he calls him out for it all the time on social media. And I think it was just a hit job on Trevor Bauer, essentially. Once the league got a chance to suspend him and get him out of their hair for a while, they just decided to do it.
So if you're suspending without valid evidence to do so.
Oh, he's appealing. And I would imagine, especially if he wins his defamation, so he's going to sue the MLB.
Oh yeah. And I would think that the NFL would be smart enough to realize that.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Now the NFL did come out and say, you know, we've said all along, criminal doesn't necessarily matter. It's violation of our conduct policy, which so that kind of gives them a little leeway. But that being said, that's kind of what civil court is.
Because you know I was going to say that. Yeah. Nothing is proven in any way in civil court. What grounds do they have to say you violated our conduct policy?
Yeah. Because like you know, we talked about it on this show, the civil court isn't guilt or not. It's just kind of.
It's libel or not.
Yeah.
It's like 51%. Probability that yes, you did what they're accusing you of.
So if he wins all, if I just think it's a bad look if you suspend a guy and then he takes all of his cases to trial and wins every single one. Mm-hmm. It's a bad look. What did you suspend him for?
Yep.
What did you, the NFL, were able to find that lawyers, attorneys, judges, juries couldn't find? Yeah. Why didn't you share it?
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So
private investigators like that all these other teams hired, the Browns hired to investigate him when they were, you know, thinking about trading for him. I mean, he's been investigated.
Yeah. And I don't think it's going to be like some people are saying doomsday, a year, he's never playing again. I think the Browns had to have at least some kind of indication from the league about the way it would go, like worst case scenario, to the point that still made them comfortable trading for him.
I agree. Yep.
Andrew Berry's not a moron. He's the opposite.
Yeah. He's a genius.
Yes. So if he had any kind of indication from the league, like, hey, this guy might not be available to you for a year or two, or honestly, we might just never let him play again. He's not making the move.
No.
And so I think, you know, you're looking at like six games, maybe if they decide to suspend him. Well, if we're going to get into our schedule, I think Jacoby Brissett is still plenty good enough for us to be 4-0 or start 4-0 with this team.
I agree. And I was just kind of reading through the article here and Goodell had a comment here. He said the civil cases were in play over the last year. The only thing that's changed is the criminal element has at least been resolved. And that was an important element in the context of the commissioner exempt list.
Yeah. So I've heard that tossed around too, because for people who don't know, Roger Goodell is not in charge of discipline anymore in the NFL because of the new collective bargaining agreement. He has really no say as far as discipline. The players were tired of him making examples out of them and the kind of inconsistency in his discipline. So it's an independent third party committee now made up, I think, of like judges, like past judges and that kind of stuff. So people said, well, he can just put him on the exempt list. That can be his way of suspending him this year. He could have done it last year. Watson got paid every single cent last year.
It's crazy.
You know what I mean? Yeah. If he's going to do it, he would have done it last year when there were still possible criminal issues in at hand.
So just reading on with the rest of his statement here, Roger Goodell's statement, I don't think Commissioner Exemplis is even, we don't even need to worry about that anymore. He said, if the criminal complaints had proceeded, that more than likely would have triggered the commissioner exempt. But I think at this point, the civil case in and of itself would not do that. If there's a violation of the personal conduct policy, that more than likely will trigger some kind of discipline in some fashion. This doesn't sound that serious to me.
No.
I mean, in some kind of discipline in some fashion, if there's a violation of the personal conduct policy, which, I mean, I think we agree. What evidence would they have of that if the civil cases aren't even...
Well, and I'll be very curious, too, to see how the sit down with the league goes, because so far, everybody who's sat down and talked to Watson, they then went and tried to trade for him.
And give him all kinds of money.
And give him all kinds of money.
Take our draft picks. Take our money.
Yeah, yeah. So if he wasn't good, if they weren't picking up what he was putting down, per se, you know, in these face-to-face talks, he wouldn't be on the Browns. He wouldn't have had 14 teams trying to get him.
Nope, and he wouldn't have had four trade offers made and accepted by the Texans.
Yes. So it's just, I think he's going to be good in the room. And I think the investigation has been very in his favor so far, 100% in his favor. So, and he has said multiple times, he's not going to settle. And I know there's some people out there saying he should settle. He should settle. That to me opens the door for a suspension. We know that settling is not an admission of guilt. That being said, it still looks better if you go to court and win.
Yep. But like Angeline Adams said, when we had her on the show, settling could be a way to say, you know what, I want to forego all these legal fees that I'm about to incur, and I'll just take care of it this way. So I don't know. I guess it's really up to him.
And I guess it depends on how does he want to look in the court of public opinion. You know what I mean? Like, if he goes to court and wins all 22 cases, he can go about his life. If he settles, this is going to hang over him for a long time.
Yeah, I think it's going to hang over him a long time anyway. I see what you're saying, though. You know if he's not liable in any of these cases, I mean, you're still going to have people that say, oh, it was rigged or he cheated this, whatever.
And he's got, and the thing is he might not want to pay for these things, but to protect his good name, he just got $230 million.
He's got the money to pay for it.
Guaranteed dollars.
Yeah.
He can pay for a top notch legal defense.
And if honestly, if I had to lean one way or the other by how I feel it's going, I think he will fight every one of them.
I agree. Especially if they're going to work around his schedule.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, we won't bother you during the season, Mr. Watson. Yeah, like, okay. I'll just take care of it next year.
Yeah, so we'll stay tuned. Maybe by the end of this week, we'll kind of know what came out of these meetings. It'll be interesting to see what happens. I don't think we hear suspension or not by the end of the week. I just, like I said, I think this is a sit-down part of the investigation. But I do think we're getting closer to getting some clarity, at least for this season.
Do you still think that a 6-game suspension would be like the max?
You would, I don't know, because if it was Goodell, who knows? Because, you know, I think it was like Ray Rice got a 2-game suspension.
That's true.
You know, and
Zeke got what, 8 or
and
something?
Zeke got like 6 or 8 for, I don't know exactly all the details of his problem, but it was just very inconsistent. Mm-hmm. So it'll be interesting to see what this third party committee comes up with now.
Well, yeah, especially because at this moment, there's no evidence to put forth that kind of a suspension. So then what do they do in the future when there's a video captured of a guy punching a woman?
Yeah.
Now, how do you handle that suspension? There's evidence. You know what I mean? So whatever precedent they set, they just got to be careful.
Yeah, I think this is going to be this committee's like first big case. So it'll be interesting to see, are they going to try to make an example of them? They were brought in because the players were tired of Goodell doing that.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see how they rule. There's really no way of knowing the way they're thinking because it's the first time they're being put to the test.
Yep. And if you're watching on YouTube, go get yourself a Deshaun Watson player shirt that I'm wearing right now from the dogspodcast.com/store. We got a couple on there. I'm going to make some more, but I think I got like JOK, Amari Cooper, Chubb.
They're sweet.
Yeah. I think if I got anybody else on there yet.
If we ever get a big and tall section, I'll get myself one. I'm more big than tall, but whatever.
Well, you're not short.
If we just get a big section.
Hey, Browns fans. The NBA playoff action is nonstop at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. This week, new customers can bet just $5 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If you're looking to turn a small bet into a big payday during the NBA playoffs with DraftKings same-day parlays, you can do just that. Create your own parlay by combining multiple bets like which team will win, total threes made, total rebounds, and more, and boom, you have a shot at an even bigger payout. Right now, all customers can place a same-game parlay with three or more legs and get a free bet back up to $25 if one leg doesn't hit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code TPPN, bet $5 on any NBA team to win their game, and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's promo code TPPN only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
Okay, so another news for Deshaun Watson this week. We got word that he's taking the offense, at least everybody who had passports. It's weird to me that there's people that don't have passports, but I guess...
I mean, these are some of these guys are 21, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I've had one since I was in high school. That's true. But you know, I guess some people.
Not everybody travels.
This is true. So, but I just thought that was funny. Like, wait, there's people that don't have passports. But everybody on the offense who has a passport, I heard that Baker's not going for some reason. They actually, MKC reported that.
Thanks for letting us know. We were wondering.
Yeah. I was like, well, first of all, he's not going to go work out. He's still recovering from surgery. And oh my gosh. I just doubt he's hopping on the plane to go hang out in the Bahamas with the team that he doesn't plan on being on.
And the quarterback that they brought in to replace him.
When she tweeted that, I was just like, wait, what? You felt the need to report that. But I think, well, one, let's hope, you know, they're going down there for team bonding and workouts. I'm kind of hoping it's more workouts and less bar hopping. I just don't want to get in trouble.
Don't get in trouble and don't get hurt.
Yes. Don't do anything stupid.
We don't need to put this three-part committee to the test even more now.
Yes. Chemistry seems to be a big focus so far this season, this off season. I think we saw last year at times that chemistry was an issue, whether it be between, I think, offense and defense, whether it be between Odell and Baker, Jarvis and Baker. You know, it was just there was chemistry issues even before the Deshaun Watson stuff going into the off season. You know, people asking Myles Garrett if they believed in Baker, and he says, I believe in the Browns. Like, he wouldn't even give Baker a vote of confidence before we knew that Deshaun Watson was in play or anything. I just think chemistry was not a tight-knit locker room last year. I think in 2020 we saw, like, it seemed like they were pretty close.
It did. It was different.
But winning cures a lot of issues. Mm-hmm. And then we were losing this year. It wasn't going the way we expected. And I think you just saw a lot of guys weren't on the same page.
And I know we have harped on the Baker thing a lot, but I do think that he is a good quarterback to have in the locker room when you're winning. He'll rally everybody around. He's hyped, get everybody excited and pumped. But then when you're losing, I don't think he's a good quarterback to have in the locker room.
I agree.
That's my take on it.
Which, in my opinion, means you're not a good leader.
Right, because if you're still being cocky or trying to, you know, be that persona, and you're out there playing like garbage and losing games, that doesn't go well with the other guys.
My problem was, it was, if it's going well, it was, look how great things are. I'm going to like slide in rap quotes into my press conferences, and that's all good and fun. Right. But then when you're losing, you can't start talking about how you're banged up.
Yep.
So chemistry seems, and I read like Deshaun, Myles Garrett and Ward seem to be like really stepping up to be vocal leaders on the team, which it feels like Myles has been around forever, but he's still a young player.
Mm-hmm.
Was he drafted in 2017?
Yes.
So, I mean, he it's not like he's a 10-year vet.
No.
So he's still coming into his own kind of like as a young man. You know, Ward's even younger.
Yeah, he just got his first big contract. Yep. So, yeah, he's still a young guy.
So you're starting to see some like the young leaders of this team kind of step up.
Deshaun Watson's 25, 6?
Something I saw today that was crazy. Somebody told me Deshaun Watson's younger than Baker.
He is.
I didn't even realize
that. Yeah, he is.
That is crazy.
Yep.
So it will be interesting to see. I kind of hope, you know, Deshaun's been around for all like the offseason stuff so far. A lot of these guys have. So hopefully by the time we get to the preseason and the season, like you could tell we've gelled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, remember the Titans moment. They're going to go like running through an old Civil War cemetery or something.
And whatever it takes, man, just win some darn ball games.
Yep. So that's enough about what Deshaun Watson's been up to this week. Apparently a lot. We did have rookie mini camp was this week. We don't have a ton to talk about on that one. Good luck to D'Anthony Bell, who was on the show last week.
Absolutely.
He had his rookie mini camp this week. So we're really excited to see how he does up there. Thanks to everybody who watched that episode and had good things to say about D'Anthony. He was a super nice kid. One thing I did want to talk about is Cade York, he spent, I think, like 2 hours talking to Phil Dawson about how to be successful as a kicker, kicking in Cleveland. I've been screaming for us to just throw a blank check at Phil Dawson to be a consultant, something. I know he's down in Texas and he coaches his kid in football. I think he coaches with Trent Dilfer.
Oh, really?
I think so. Like, because there was that video of Trent Dilfer like losing his mind on a player, and that it was on Phil Dawson's kid.
I haven't seen it. I'll have to go look
at that. It was last year, I think. Oh man, he was giving him the business. So I know he probably doesn't want to come up and coach full time, especially if he's got a high school kid he's coaching. But man, there's no way you can't tell me we can't pry him away for like a couple weeks,
or just to be in that consultant role where it's like, hey, we need you to fly up here for 2 days.
Yeah.
To work with Cade.
Yeah. We just drafted a kicker. We drafted a kicker again. Can you please just come up and like show?
How would you like to get a full-time paycheck to just be called, you know, for a couple hour flight for a day or two and then come back home?
Jimmy Haslam's got a private jet. He can send it down, pick you up. You can be in Cleveland in an hour.
Yep.
We could have you home by dinner.
Yes, that is absolutely true. 100%.
He doesn't have to come in and be a special teams coach. He doesn't have to be there every single day. Be up here 1 or 2 days a week for a couple hours. Jimmy will send the jet.
Yep.
I mean, just something. Let's just make sure Cade York works. He's got to work.
And I've heard so many things about him being like this competitor and focused on being excellent at kick, you know, what he does. And I'm sure they all are in some way, but the things I've been hearing about Cade York just make me more comfortable with the draft capital we put into him and him being the best kicker in the draft, and just hoping to God we get this problem solved.
No kidding, because we haven't replaced Phil Dawson.
No, it's been rough.
It has been the second hardest position for Cleveland to fill next to quarterback in my life is kicker, and it's unbelievable. And I think kicking in the league has gone downhill a lot in the last 5 to 7 years.
Yep, I agree.
I feel like when I was growing up, if a team got on their side of the 50, they were in field goal range and they were getting it.
Mm-hmm.
And now it feels like anything at 45 plus, it can kind of be a crapshoot. Yeah. Maybe that's just me watching the Browns, but I'm watching a lot of kickers miss kicks around the league.
There's very few solid kickers that every time they trot out there, you're like, I'm pretty sure he's going to make this.
That's why like Justin Tucker can name his price.
Yep, for sure.
So then moving on to the schedule, this was, you know, the big what you guys are probably all here for. Browns got their schedule released for the first time maybe in my life. I think the NFL did the Browns a favor early in the season. I think the Browns, they're staring 4-0 in the face, I think. Toughest game early in the year, easily the Steelers. They're either going to be trotting out Mitch Trubisky or it's going to be Kenny Pickett's fourth game. Maybe later in the year there'll be a tougher game, but I just think early in the season we should wipe them up.
I think so too, and we get it at home.
That's a big difference in this year's schedule. I don't know if you guys noticed, but we play a lot of our tougher games at home this year as opposed to last year. They were all on the road.
I love that our first game of the season, it's a road game. We get to go play the Panthers.
Correct.
And Sam Darnold or whoever the heck they, who maybe they Baker, that? I don't know.
Sam Howell.
Did they draft Sam Howell?
Is that who they picked?
I can't remember.
I think so.
Okay, yeah, sure.
The first time in, 20-some years, the Browns could be 1-0.
Yeah.
If they're not 1-0, the sky's going to be falling.
If they're not 1-0, they picked Matt Corral. That's Matt Corral.
I knew it was one of those guys.
Yeah. If they're not 1-0, it's because I guess Deshaun Watson was suspended. I don't know.
Here, okay. So if we're looking at the first, say, six games, and say we got to go with Brissett.
Okay.
I still think we're 4-2.
I agree. And you're thinking what? Chargers, Patriots, losses?
Yep. I'm thinking you start 4-0, maybe drop 2, then Deshaun makes his season debut at home against the Bengals.
Now, the nice thing is the Chargers and Patriots game are both at home.
That is
so nice. It gives us an advantage, especially with the Chargers having to come from the West Coast.
I think what people don't realize is this team won 8 games last year with
garbage.
And this isn't, I'm not trying to take a shot. Statistically, like the third or fourth worst quarterback in the league.
I think he was fifth, and the only 4 guys that were worse than him were all rookies.
Yeah. So Jacoby Brissett, if he comes in and he starts, he's a top 20 guy.
Oh, for sure. I like Jacoby Brissett. I always have.
Yeah, he can win games. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I watched him play well against the Raiders in a game last year for the Dolphins.
I mean, Case Keenum came out and won a game against the Broncos.
Yeah.
I think Jacoby Brissett can easily beat the Panthers, the Jets, the Steelers, like you said, maybe tough just because it's the Steelers. They have a good defense and everything, but the Falcons? I mean, come on.
No. Yeah, I completely agree. This if Deshaun Watson plays, you can or is suspended for any amount of time, you can kiss the playoffs goodbye. We won 8 games with statistically one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. If we can just get top 20 play out of our quarterback, last year we win 10 or 11 games.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think Jacoby Brissett is completely capable of giving you top 20 quarterback play.
I agree.
So I don't see that. We're not going to go game by game and predict win-loss for every game just because, one, we don't know who's going to be on the Browns team. The roster is at almost 90 right now. It's going to be at 53 come the season. We don't know if Watson's going to be suspended. We don't know about injuries from the preseason yet. So we like to do our game by game predictions closer to the start of the season. This is just kind of our early reactions. The Jets, the game at number 2, I'm excited for, not because I think the Jets are going to be a powerhouse or anything, but they had a great draft.
Yes, they did.
They had a really great draft. I'm excited to see Garrett Wilson.
Yep.
And I'm interested to see if Zach Wilson makes any kind of jump from year 1 to year 2.
Mm-hmm, because he's definitely got potential.
Yes. I think we should wipe the field with him and win by 40. Especially if Deshaun plays, mm-hmm. But I still am interested in watching a couple of the guys on that team play. The Falcons is kind of interesting. I'm interested to see what Mariota does.
Drake London.
If it's anything like his college career, I'll have like 10 catches for 300 yards. Yeah. and then obviously then we get into the meat of the schedule. So I think we start 4-0. The middle of the schedule heading into the bye gets very tough in my opinion.
I agree. Yep.
I mean, you got a stretch of Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins. Those were... Well,
the Dolphins is after the bye.
Okay. It doesn't show me the bye week.
Oh, yeah. Here. The bye is between the Bengals and Dolphins.
Yep. Okay. So you go Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals.
Correct.
That's not an easy stretch.
3 of those 4 at home.
Which is nice.
That is very nice.
That's very nice. Now, the Ravens game, I'm on the record, and I know Aaron Butler and Willie Johnson or whatever. I'm just not convinced that the Ravens are going to be that good this year. I think they'll always be a tough game.
Yes.
They're well coached. They're smart.
Always have a decent defense.
Yes. No doubt in my mind, it'll be a tough game. And if the Ravens come out and they win 12 games this year, I will never be shocked. But I'm also not going to be shocked if they struggle this year because I know they say he wasn't their number one. He was definitely their number one receiver.
Yes, he was.
Hollywood Brown was 100% their number one receiver. You did nothing to replace him.
No.
And you're putting a lot of stock in Rashad Bateman, who didn't really do anything last year.
They lost Sammy Watkins.
I think Bateman played well at times, but he was almost never on the field.
He was hurt for the majority of the season.
So you're going to put a lot of stake in a guy, a second-year guy who didn't get to play much as a rookie.
And he didn't pop when he did play. You know, he didn't have like those Odell Beckham moments. He was injured, came in, made a name for himself. I mean, even Kadarius Toney last year came in and had a couple games. It was like, oh, wow. But there was no pop out of Bateman.
Now your number 2 is Duvernay. And after that, I don't know who anybody else on their receiving core is.
Yeah,
I mean, they're trotting out close to like a practice squad wide receiving core.
Mm-hmm.
So you're putting a lot of faith in Mark Andrews and Lamar Jackson running the ball.
Well, and Lamar Jackson is not a quarterback who's going to elevate lower level receivers.
No. So you bet you're going to run the ball 50 times a game. And again, you'll be good at doing that because Lamar is so good at doing that and you're going to get your running backs back. But
you're not going to win the blowouts.
No.
You're not going to win the high scoring affairs like with Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, these guys.
I'm not seeing like I said, they're well coached. Harbaugh's a great coach. They could come out and win 12. I don't be shocked.
Yep.
But I also will not be shocked if they finish fourth in the division again. And I know people are going to freak out. I'm not trying to, you know, disrespect your Ravens. I'm just telling you, that's how I see it.
I'm trying to disrespect the Ravens. I think they're going to suck. I'll always do it.
But the Bengals, to me, it's just so hard to decide what I think of them this year. Because I didn't think they were that great last year, and they went to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But during the season, they lost some bad games, and we beat them twice.
Mm-hmm.
One time in a blowout.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to decide what they're going to be. They addressed their offensive line issues, which was their biggest weakness. They addressed some secondary issues. So I think they're an improved team. It's just, I can't tell.
Well, we said last week, look at the team that loses the Super Bowl hangover is real. It's a tough road back for those teams, except for, like you said, the Patriots.
Yeah. Then we got the Dolphins. It'll be interesting. It all depends on Tua.
Yeah.
It all depends on Tua. And then, you know, they got Tyreek and Waddle, so that's why we had to go get another corner.
Yeah, and they've reloaded their running back room up, too.
Yeah. A new coach with that Shanahan system, so they're probably going to be good at running the ball.
Yep, probably.
So we'll see. The Dolphins, it's going to depend on Tua. And then there's a tough two-game stretch here at the Bills and at home against the Bucks.
Yeah.
The middle of this schedule. So for after our first four games, Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins, Bills, Bucks, that's rough.
Yeah.
You got to survive. That's why you got to go 4-0 to start. Because then if you can split your next six, you know, and now you're 7-3, you're still looking good.
Oh, yeah.
Going down the home stretch. And then we got the Texans at the Texans. That's a blowout, probably. At the Bengals, hopefully, you know, again, confused. And then we close the season with Ravens, Saints, Commanders, and Steelers. Ravens, by this point in the season, will know what they are, probably. Saints, I think it all depends on Jameis. They don't have Sean Payton anymore. And I think Sean Payton is really kind of what made them go. He's one of the best coaches in the league, in my opinion.
Now, if they get, you know, Michael Thomas back and he's playing with Jarvis and they got Chris Olave and he ends up being what they draft him to be, Jameis has some good weapons to make the offense explosive. But
if Kamara's there.
Yeah.
So
he's not in jail.
The Saints could be good. If Jameis plays well and their coaching is good, they could be good. We'll see. The Commanders with Wentz. By this point in the season, Carson's probably like a 15-15 guy, and they're ready to boot him out. So we'll see. And then we close the season with the Steelers. You know, it seems like they always do that to us. Last game or second to last game is always against Pittsburgh. And who knows, it could be to decide the division. I think the division's down between us and Cincy this year. Who knows? If Pickett's awesome or if Mitch Trubisky completely revitalizes his career, the Steelers could be pretty good this year.
The thing is, these rookie quarterbacks coming out and being awesome in their rookie year doesn't happen very often. I mean, Justin Herbert did it. Joe Burrow showed flashes, but then he got hurt.
Baker did it.
Baker, yeah, he set a record. But, like last year, you just look at the guys. I mean, Trevor Lawrence was awful. Justin Fields, not very good. Zach Wilson, not very good. It's tough for a rookie quarterback to really
blow up. I will say, though, that the Steelers is a way better situation than those teams.
This is true.
They got good receivers. They just drafted Pickens. They got a great running back. Basically, if one of their two quarterbacks whoever starts and the offensive line plays well, they could be dangerous.
The offensive line would be the key there because I know they upgraded it, but last year it was so bad. Najee Harris got hit in the backfield almost every play.
Yeah, he had over 1,000 yards rushing, but his yards per carry was...
Was it less than three?
It was not very good.
It was low.
I made a comment to a Steelers person. He was telling me about all the yards he had. And I said, yeah, on 800 carries.
Yeah.
So then obviously we're not going to go game by game, but just looking at the schedule, what do you, off the top of your head, how many wins do the Browns got?
I know what we kind of said before the show. I'm thinking I'm going to go with 11 because there are always games that you lose that you think, how did we lose that game? And then there's also games we win. It's like, oh, I didn't know if we'd win that one.
I'm 11 or 12 without like breaking it down and looking at it game by game. I just think there's a tough stretch in there where I could see us going where a 6-game stretch where we go 500 or even a game below. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully to the end of the year, we can, you know, pick it up going down the stretch. I do think it's just super underrated though, what we can be with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah. And not even just him, but the rest of this team that Andrew Berry in the front office put together.
And I do think also you got to get off to a good start. If this 11-12 wins is based on us starting 4-0 at worst 3-1,
yes.
We come out and we go 1-3 or 2-2. Now we're talking 9-10 wins, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So I think this is a tough schedule. I think it's the toughest schedule the Browns have had since 2020.
Yeah. Luckily we do have some.
Or not 2020. That was an easy schedule. It's tougher than last year. It's tougher than 2020. It's the toughest one we've had in a while.
Yeah, we do have some good get right games potentially in the right spots. I mean, right after the Steelers in week three, we got to go play the Falcons.
Mm-hmm.
That should be a get right game.
Then there's, you got a tough stretch, and then you get to the Texans. You got to survive Chargers, Patriots, Ravens, Bengals, Dolphins, Bills, Bucks before you get to the Texans.
Right.
So that's, you got to weather the storm there. That's going to be a grind.
Yeah, it definitely will be. Mm-hmm. Hey, what's up, Browns fans? Just want to take a quick break in the action here to let you know that spring, thank God, is finally here. And with spring, with that sunshine, with the warmer weather, that means you're breaking out your grills. And if you're breaking out your grills, there's nothing better to throw on those puppies than Omaha Steaks. Omaha Steaks are absolutely amazing. If you guys have never tried Omaha Steaks or had these things, I don't know what to tell you. You're missing out. You have got to give them a try. They make obviously steaks, but so they have so much more food, you know, chicken, they have shrimp and all kinds of other things, pork chops. It's unbelievable what these guys have. Omaha Steaks make it easy to stock up on all your grilling favorites. If you visit right now, omahasteaks.com, and if you type in dogs, D-A-W-G-S, into the search bar, and make sure you order the spring grill pack today, okay? You guys, it's on sale right now with the code DOGS. You're actually going to save over 50% on your order. Plus, you'll get 4 Omaha Steaks burgers and 4 boneless chicken breasts free with your order. 50% off plus 4 Omaha Steak burgers and 4 boneless chicken breasts free. You guys, you can't beat this deal. The spring grill pack includes 4 butcher's cut filet mignons, 4 boneless pork chops, 4 boneless chicken breasts, 4 gourmet jumbo franks, 1 package of all beef meatballs, 4 caramel apple tartlets, delicious, and 1 jar of Omaha Steak seasoning. And then you also get the 4 Omaha Steak burgers and the 4 boneless chicken breasts for free, plus the 50% off. You can't beat this deal. Get yourself the spring grill pack today from Omaha Steaks. You will not regret it. So make sure you don't miss out on this offer. It's amazing. OmahaSteaks.com. Enter in dogs in the search bar. Get out there and grill, baby, grill.
So we wanted to talk about the schedule and, you know, wins, losses, that kind of thing. And then I kind of had this. I saw people talking about Stefanski, and I'm a huge Stefanski fan. I've never, you know, made any bones about that. But I started thinking, you know, last year was a prove it year for Baker and Joe Woods, in my opinion. I think one of them proved it, one of them didn't. And I thought, is this a prove-it year for Stefanski? Even though I think he's a great coach, he's had one good year, one not good year. And this roster is ready to go. So,
for the most part, yeah.
So I said, I want to ask you, is it a prove-it year for Stefanski? And what does success look like for the Browns this year?
Yep, it's a really good question. And I think that every year is a prove it year on some level for every coach, because I mean, we've seen in the past, there's a coaches can have a great year, turn around and have an okay year or mediocre year, fired. You just never know what these GMs and these owners are going to do with the coaches and what all happened during the year. But, you know, first Stefanski winning, you know, coach of the year 2 years ago, and then last year missing the playoffs, and it wasn't all that great, but you know, he still didn't do a horrible job.
No, we won, what, 8 games?
Yeah, and we know what the problem was.
To me, the biggest concern about last year is there were not necessarily the wins, losses, because we were getting such bad quarterback play. It was the other areas we regressed as far as, like, penalties.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't seem as tight-knit, which was surprising to me that chemistry seemed to be an issue a year where we got to be in the building together. And then the year before where it was all virtual meetings and they seemed like a tighter knit group. Part of that is we were winning the year before and last year we weren't. So that was more concerning to me than the wins and losses, was the fact that we went from like one of the least penalized team to it seemed like we were just getting penalties all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And our guys, we just didn't seem like we were a team. We were just a bunch of guys. So going into this year, the wins and losses have to be there, but I don't want our first six games where the second most penalized team in the league again. It kind of got under control last year late, but it took too long.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it definitely did.
So he doesn't get off the hook for that kind of stuff. You know, if we're going to criticize, I might like the guy a lot, but if I'm going to criticize other people for their problems. I criticize Baker or Freddie for penalities.
Oh, big time.
So, so I have to criticize Stefanski if the Browns come out and have a crap ton of penalties again.
Yep, and we need to see this offense and this playbook really show itself this year because no excuses.
Yes,
just kind of like you said with Tua, with all the weapons he has at quarterback in Miami, no excuses not to succeed. If you don't, you probably got to go. And Stefanski, same thing. Look what you have been given now.
Yep.
If you can't go out there and win games, put up big points with this quarterback and this offense available to you, I think you are in the hot seat.
I expect the RPO to become kind of a staple of our offense.
I think it's going to be nasty.
I mean, you take the ball and you stick it in the belly of Chubb, and then you pull it last second and hit Amari Cooper on a slant. I mean, those are three guys that potentially could have the ball in that play that are all dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. I think read option is going to be bigger. And like I've said this a bunch of times, I think Nick Chubb could lead the league in rushing this year because of Watson. So
yeah.
I'm under the belief that Stefanski's been calling plays last year with half to three-fourths the playbook. And now with Watson, he gets to open it all the way up. So, like, there's no excuses for any kind of being stagnant on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, and Watson also brings that running element of, you know, when the play breaks down or he's got to make something happen out of nothing, he can. And we've seen the NFL where they're really gravitating toward that type of quarterback because it's just so needed anymore. You need a guy who can improvise and create on his own.
And when you have a quarterback who isn't just like a little bit mobile, but his legs are an actual threat.
Yeah.
Like I would consider Baker, he's somewhat athletic, but his legs aren't a threat.
Right.
Deshaun Watson's a threat to run the ball. It dictates what the defense can do.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, when we play Lamar and it's third and long, I scream, do not go man.
Right.
You know, because then once he sees all the DBs turn their backs, he just takes off running.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so that's the same thing with Deshaun. So now, you know, on third down, you're probably going to see some kind of zone.
Yeah.
It eliminates half your thought process.
You're right. Yeah, like last year, third and long was always, well, this is probably a punt after this play.
Yeah.
And now the same way with Lamar, like the comparison. Third and long is always a possibility now.
Yeah, I mean, Deshaun's not Lamar running the ball, but he's still...
nobody is.
No, but he's still good.
Mm-hmm.
He can definitely run the ball. So what do you think success looks like for the Browns? Like, is it a win total? Is it just the way we perform? What is it for you?
I think it's a consistency of every week we sit down and we watch the game, win or lose, but we walk away from the game going, that's the same team that I saw last week.
That's a good football team.
Yes.
You even if we lost, you know that we're still a good football team.
We played hard. There was no miscommunications or very few miscommunications. We didn't have stupid penalties. You know, there was none of that kind of stuff on the field. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for that cohesion.
I want to see us win the close games.
Yep.
Like, and if I want to see us hold a lead if we have it, I do not want us to get conservative in the second half just because we have a 3-point lead.
Get a first down if you need a first down to win the game. Yep. I would love to see that.
And then barring injury / suspension, to me, anything less than making it to the AFC Championship game is not successful. You can still say if we make the playoffs is a wild card win and lose a close game in the divisional round, okay, it was an okay season. We got something to build on. But for me to call it like a successful season, no less than the AFC Championship game.
I don't hate you for that. I mean, the goal is to win the Super Bowl every year.
Yes. And only one team wins. So, and I'm not going to say that there's only one successful team every year. I think the Bengals had a successful season last year. So, but we can't be one and done. To me, if we make the playoffs and we lose in the wild card round, still hot seat.
Absolutely, because you look at even the Chiefs and the Bills, I don't think they would consider their seasons last year a success because they didn't get to the Super Bowl. That's where their aspirations were.
Yes.
Well, if we don't at least have AFC Championship aspirations, what are we doing?
Correct. And ask like being a perennial playoff contender to me is not the goal. Ask the Packers how they feel. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Ask the Cowboys. You think they like just barely making it to playoffs and losing the first round every year? No, that's still not fun.
No.
So, you know, is it better than being the laughing stock? Yeah, of course. But if you just make the playoffs 10 years in a row and you never make it to the Super Bowl or win one, it still sucks.
I mean, we were the laughing stock for a long time for really bad reasons. But if you think about it, the Cowboys are a laughing stock for making the playoffs every year, barely, and then never winning.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can be bad that way, too.
So that's kind of what I think is success. Barring now, if we come out and Watson tears his ACL, knock on wood, the first game, Jacoby tears his shoulder. And we're playing with our third string quarterback, Nick Chubb, you know, forgets how to play football. You know, extreme circumstances. Okay, I can see things would suck. But if we come out and we're relatively, if we're NFL healthy, I don't mean every guy plays every game.
Because it never happens.
Yes, I just mean for the majority of the season, we have the bulk of our core available.
Mm-hmm.
AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes this year. I really think, I don't think we're over hyping this time. I really don't.
I think we're being very logical about the hype.
Yes. You know? We have to come out and prove it. Nothing is given. Just because we look good on paper does not mean we're going to be good. But I just really think, I mean, we have a franchise quarterback and that is elite. And I just think that does so much for you on both sides of the ball.
It does.
I mean, you're going to be playing with a lead more. So now Miles can just straight up pass rush. I mean,
well, and that's a good point actually, because now the defense can stay off the field more.
Yes.
You know, the longer drives we have, the more first downs we pick up, whether or not we score or whatever. But if we can control the clock, our defense is fresh. They're getting injured less.
We got Miles. So if you can play with a lead late in the game, you got Miles. We just drafted Alex Wright. We just drafted Winfrey. Hopefully Clowney will be back. Mm-hmm. We have Chase Winovich, who's kind of like a pass rush specialist. And we got a secondary that can lock you down in man.
Yeah.
This defense is built to play with a lead.
Yes.
So that's kind of what I'm expecting us to come out, get up on people early, and then in the second half, just let this defense eat.
I love it, man. I think it's realistic.
Me too.
This is not a pipe dream.
No. The first time, in again, not taking shots, but you going into games, you always had to wonder, hopefully this is a good game. You know what I mean?
And that's what I'm talking about, the consistency for me would be a success too, because I don't want to say what team shows up today, what quarterback comes out to play today.
Yes.
Are we going to score 30 points? Or are we going to struggle to score 12?
Yes.
No, I want this consistent team every week. They come out, like I said, win or lose, but they're taking care of business.
Yep.
You're not going to win every game. So I get that.
Yeah.
But you gotta play like you're going
to
win every
game. And you might lose some games that you got to win the games you're supposed to, and then win some of the games that are toss-ups.
Yep.
You can't lose all your tough games. Because if you do that this year, we're going to go 4-13. Because we got a lot of tough games this year.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that kind of wraps up today's episode. That's everything we wanted to talk about. Remember, if you guys want to get your comments on the show, your voicemails on the show, thedogspodcast.com, tap leave voicemail in the drop-down menu. If you're watching on YouTube, please subscribe. We are inching closer to 4,000 subscribers, which to some people, that's not a lot, but to us,
it's pretty big.
A year and a month ago, we only had 1,000. And not long before that, we only had like 80.
We took a whole over a year to get to 100.
Yes.
So
the fact that, so thank to everybody who has subscribed, thank you guys so much. And if you haven't subscribed and you're listening on a consistent basis, please subscribe. We're getting closer to that 4,000, which is a pretty cool mark for us, especially to do it in, you know, this short of amount of a time. If you're looking for more content, jointhedogs.com, become an official Dog Pack member on our Patreon page. A lot of cool stuff. I think the episode we're about to do for that is going to be super cool. So if you guys are interested, check it out. Again, we're going to have a free trial on Apple Podcasts for you to be able to listen to the After Hours for free. So if you've been kind of holding off, didn't know if you wanted to subscribe, next weekend, jump onto Apple. You'll be able to listen to the episode, see if it's for you. We have more than just the extra episode. Again, we have fantasy football leagues. We have threads that everybody comments in. It's super fun for everybody. The more people that are in there, the more opinions we get, the better it is. And until next week, have a good week, everybody.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Dogs Podcast. Make sure you subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Twitter at the Dogs Podcast and become an official Dog Pack member and join the dogs.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.